Welcome to the latest episode of the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Fowler, and today is Monday, March 1st. This week, I sat down for a one-on-one conversation with former Chief Medical Officer and Executive Vice President of ASCO, Dr. Richard Schilsky. We discussed ASCO's 2021 Advance of the Year, Molecular Profiling Driving Progress in Gastrointestinal Cancers. Schilsky discussed the progress being made in this field and the top pieces of research contributing to the progress in GI cancers, while also elaborating on health equity in cancer research, ASCO's top research priorities moving forward, and more. Here is that conversation. Great. Dr. Schilsky, thank you so much for joining me. I was hoping to just start with, you know, a really general idea. Could you give a brief overview of what molecular profiling is, and specifically in the context of GI cancers, and how does it work to personalize medicine for patients?
Sure. Well, molecular profiling, as it applies to cancer in general, GI cancer is no exception, generally refers to studying the molecular characteristics of a patient's tumor. That could mean looking for mutations in the DNA in the patient's tumor, other changes to the DNA that might accelerate the growth of the patient's cancer, the expression of abnormal proteins in the tumor, or other features such as whether genes are turned on or turned off in the tumor, any one of which, you know, might be contributing to the growth of the cancer. And thereby, if they are targeted with a drug or a combination of drugs that essentially reverses the impact of that molecular abnormality, the hope is that that strategy can then stop or delay the growth of the cancer.
So, of course, I'm asking this question because ASCO recently named the Advance of the Year to be Molecular Profiling in Gastrointestinal Cancers. And I was hoping to talk to you a little bit about some of the examples that you've seen of the most significant research published this past year that contributed to this designation. You know, could you talk a little bit about some of the key pieces that came out and how they led to this award, basically?
Yeah, well, maybe let me just put it a little bit in context for you. Molecular profiling in cancer is not a new thing. It's been something that we've been doing in many cancer types now for the last 20 years or so, particularly in breast cancer, more recently in lung cancer, in malignant melanoma. And, you know, it has led to really breakthrough therapies for many patients with those diseases that have radically changed their potential outcomes. We've had less progress in that in GI cancer. The first so-called targeted therapies in GI cancer, colon cancer in particular, which is the most common GI cancer, those were introduced 20 years ago, and there's been very little progress since, largely because it's only been until more recently that we've really come to understand the basic biology that drives the development of many GI cancers. But now that that information is becoming more available, we've begun to see the development of new drugs that are targeting specific molecular alterations in various GI cancers that we're now able to detect with routine testing. So let me give you a few examples. In breast cancer in the early 1990s, we recognized that the HER2 gene was overexpressed or present in an excess amount in about 20% of people with breast cancer, and that using the drug trastuzumab or Herceptin was a highly effective therapy for those individuals. Well, it turns out that the same gene is overexpressed in about 20% of patients who have gastric or gastroesophageal cancers. Those are cancers at the junction of the esophagus and stomach, and also in a fraction of patients with colon cancer. And we've now seen and described in our clinical cancer advances report new therapies where the Herceptin antibody called trastuzumab is linked with a chemotherapy drug, so that the antibody essentially is delivering the payload of a toxic chemotherapy drug directly to the tumor cells that have the target and is showing great promise in treating those cancers in the patients whose tumors have HER2 overexpression. We've also begun to see now in also in colon cancer that specific drugs that target mutations in a gene called BRAF and have recently been approved by FDA to treat the small proportion of patients with colon cancer whose tumors have a BRAF mutation. And one of the most exciting findings recently has been in treating patients who have bile duct cancer. Bile duct cancer has been extremely recalcitrant to treatment. It's typically been treated with conventional chemotherapy, which has been of minimal effectiveness. But now we've begun to see that there is a proportion of patients with bile duct cancer whose tumors have what are called fusions in a gene called FGFR2, or that's the fibroblast growth factor receptor gene. And when that fusion is detected in the gene and treated with a targeted therapy, the patients have significant responses to that treatment. And the first of these FGFR2 inhibitors has now been approved by the FDA last year. There's a second gene that is abnormal in many bile duct cancers called the IDH1 gene, and there are specific targeted therapies for that gene in development that are also looking quite promising. So the whole field of targeted therapy in GI cancer is really beginning to explode now based on a much better understanding of the underlying biology of these cancers.
And so you mentioned a ton of information there, and it's very obvious to see why this was named the advance of the year. So I was hoping you could discuss maybe some areas of research that still remains an opportunity for further development and what you would like to see research focus on and leverage from what you've already learned moving forward.
Sure. although these are very important and significant advances, they are only going to be relevant to a small proportion of patients, because these genetic abnormalities that are the targets of these drugs only occur in a small proportion of tumors. So there's a lot more to be learned about, what are the other molecular drivers of these cancers that potentially could be targeted. I think the other big challenge in this whole field of precision medicine and oncology, and GI cancer will be no exception, is that although these targeted therapies are very effective, at the get-go, it's almost inevitable that the tumors develop resistance to them. And so the patients have an initial great response in many cases, but over 6 to 12 months, the tumor becomes resistant and the treatment no longer works. And so we really need to understand the resistance mechanisms and ultimately develop new and better drugs that can tackle those resistance mechanisms. And I guess the last thing I'll say that is also a very promising area, of course, is the whole area of immunotherapy for cancer. We've seen now these drugs called immune checkpoint inhibitors that have been highly effective in many, many cancer types. And they're beginning now to demonstrate their effectiveness in GI cancers as well. One of the studies we highlighted in Clinical Cancer Advances this year was a prospective randomized clinical trial done in patients with metastatic colorectal cancer whose tumors are what is called deficient in mismatch repair. That is, they have what's called an MSI high phenotype. And it turns out that if you treat those tumors with the drug pembrolizumab rather than with just conventional chemotherapy, the treatment is much more effective. Response rates are higher. The time to tumor progression is extended considerably, and the treatment is far less toxic. So again, I think we're going to see now the application of very promising immunotherapies in GI cancers as well.
Great. And so sort of shifting gears to another area that the release mentions, and from professionals that I've spoken with, they've always kind of emphasized this area of health equity and cancer research being an issue. And it suggests that the patient populations need proper representation in clinical trials. So in your opinion, what is the significance of proper health equity and what can be done to take steps towards improving this problem?
Yeah, well, it's a really, it's a really important question. You know, obviously we want to develop therapies that will be beneficial to all people who have cancer and all people who could potentially benefit from these exciting new treatments. And the only way we can have confidence as to whether or not the treatment works in the broad population of cancer patients is to be sure that those individuals are included in the clinical trials that are testing the new therapies to begin with. And unfortunately, you know, we have a big inequity to overcome there. Many times, minority populations are underrepresented in cancer clinical trials. Older individuals are very much underrepresented in cancer clinical trials. You know, 60% of the cancer patients that we treat every day are age 65 and older, but only about 10% of the patients in clinical trials are 65 and older. So we don't have a lot of the key information we need from the clinical trials to understand how to treat the patients we actually see in the clinic every day. So the goal, of course, is to make clinical trial participation more accessible to more people so that, number one, they can directly benefit from participating in the trial, and number two, they can make the trial results more representative of the general population and therefore more applicable to the treatment of, you know, every patient with cancer.
So this is really a two-part question to follow up briefly. Has the pandemic, now that it's gone on for about a year in the United States, has that introduced any different avenues of potential options to make clinical trials more accessible? And then also looking at the pandemic, how has that impacted your operation there at ASCO?
Yeah, well, one of the silver linings of the pandemic, in a sense, is that clinical trials had to change and adapt in order to be able to continue safely during the pandemic. And of course, in the early surges of the pandemic last spring, lots of clinical trials shut down. They were put on hold. Recruitment of patients across the country fell by about 50%. New trial launches were delayed significantly. But, you know, as the pandemic continued, trial sponsors and trial sites began to adapt the way trials are conducted. So a lot more flexibility was introduced into trial operations. Telemedicine services, were permitted to allow patients to be evaluated remotely while they're on trial. Drugs that patients would normally have to come to the trial site to pick up were allowed to be delivered directly to a patient's home under appropriate circumstances. And a lot of the trial operations were simplified to allow patients to participate without having to travel to the trial site any more often than necessary. Now, it turns out that many of those changes can be carried forward, even as the pandemic is now receding, and they will have an impact in making clinical trials more accessible, more efficient, easier for people to participate in. And ASCO has cataloged these in our recently published Road to Recovery report that was published in early December. And we make a number of recommendations now for changes to clinical trials that were implemented urgently during the pandemic, but that we now feel should be carried forward as the sort of the new normal of how clinical trials are done for the future.
Absolutely. And lastly, is there anything that I haven't mentioned regarding this release, you know, whether it's ASCO's top research priorities, anything from the pandemic or profiling in general that you feel is important to share here?
Well, I will point out, of course, ASCO's been putting out the Clinical Cancer Advances every year for almost 20 years now. And it's a wonderful summary of all the progress that's been made in cancer during the year that's being reported on. About 5 years ago now, we decided to name each year the advance of the year to highlight one area in particular where really rapid progress has been made. And about 3 years ago, we started to publish research priorities for the country as part of Clinical Cancer Advances. We published those again this year. And the intention there is to lay out for the research community areas that ASCO feels are particularly ripe for acceleration. and where we can have the greatest impact and address the greatest unmet medical needs. And I'll just point out that some of the recommendations carry over from year to year, but this year, one recommendation in particular is new, and it's about accelerating research on artificial intelligence in cancer. This is an area where physicians are dealing with so much information now about any given patient that they need tools to help them integrate and assimilate all that information and convert it into a clinical decision process. And artificial intelligence is emerging as a method to help gather all of the relevant information together, prioritize it, integrate it, and present it to physicians in a way that they can readily use it in clinical decision-making. So we think it's a very exciting area and one that can really help to further accelerate progress in cancer.
Absolutely, that sounds great. Well, Dr. Shulsky, thank you so much for lending your time to speak with me, and I truly appreciate it. And I do wish you the best in whatever comes next for you.
Thank you so much, Matt. Really a pleasure.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your day. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you get your podcasts. Or you can listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, make sure to leave a 5-star rating and review and tell us what you think and what you want to hear more about. The Oncology Peer Review On The Go podcast is the official podcast of Cancer Network, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at Cancer Network without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at Cancer Network. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time.